Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this worship service that we at the Southeast Church of Christ are doing for the honor and glory of our God, but also for the mutual edification of all of us here today. Grateful with the presence of everyone, but we are especially grateful with your presence if you are our honored and esteemed guest. We hope and pray that any questions you may have, you make or ask those questions, and we would be honored to sit with you and find those answers in our God's Word. If you will please open your Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, where we will be taking our thoughts this morning, beginning at verse 14. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we come before Thy throne of grace to give Thee honor, glory, and praise. We are grateful, Father, for the life. We are grateful for the opportunity, for the time that Thou have given us, not only so that we may have the opportunity to work on our own lives, but also, Lord, for the entire world to come to Thy feet and be able to give themselves to Thee, Father, for Thy salvation. Father, as we strive to study Thy Word this morning, allow this Thy servant, Father, to bring to memory what I have been able to learn from Thy Word. But above, Father, my memory, grant me the boldness and the meekness to apply in my own living, Father, so that I may understand how faith is indeed that substance of things hoped for. That, Father, we may all glean this learning from this explanation given by Thy inspired servant, and that, Father, that we may all apply in our own living these words so that we may always shine our light lamps brightly before men. Father, as we strive, Lord, to rightly divide Thy Word, allow us to speak, Father, as Thou hast spoken, and allow us, Father, not to add to or subtract from Thy Holy Word, for we know that it is complete and self-sufficient. Forgive us, Father, for the sins that we have committed, either in words, in thoughts, or in actions. Forgive us, Father, when we have failed Thee and our faith has not been strong as it should be. But please, Father, grant us the mercy and the opportunity to make those adjustments, to make those improvements, to perfect our holiness always before Thy sight. We pray this, Father, not because we are worthy, but we do it in the glorious and powerful name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The substance of things hoped for. This has been the title we have chosen for this morning's lesson. You were earlier in our Bible study, you know that this is the first half of the definition given to us by the Holy Spirit Himself of what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 tells us that faith is not an abstract object. It's not a concept, and it is not simply an idea, nor is it a feeling, an inkling, or some kind of inclination. Faith has a solid foundation. Faith is the solid foundation. For we see that the Greek word hypostasis means exactly that. Means that it is a foundation that something can be built upon. It is the foundation upon what one man lays his beliefs or his entire being upon. And this correlates with what our Lord Jesus Christ teaches at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, when He teaches us that it is not enough to simply hear and agree with what He is saying. We see that Jesus says, whoever builds upon this rock, Christ being our rock that we build upon, well then, the storms, the winds, the rivers, and every other kind of natural disaster mentioned by the Scripture can come toward that home, but the home will stand because it has a solid foundation. When you read chapter 2, verse 14, James, as he does so in his style of showing us the practicality of Christianity, begins by asking a very unique question. It is interesting that in the Legacy Standard Translation of the Bible, we see that they add there a preposition that perhaps gives us a little more clarity as to what is being spoken of. The question asked by James is, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Here is where the Legacy Translation adds that one word. Can that faith save him? You see, here it just says, can faith save him? There is no doubt that through the context, James is speaking about two types of faith. The true faith that is found in Jesus and everything else. You see, here we are talking about an inactive faith. A faith that believes it doesn't have to do anything else other than just believe. But when we read this scripture here and we add that one preposition in the second question, can that faith save him? Well, it makes a lot more sense because verse 15 is actually giving stronger credence to the question being asked in that way. Notice the example that is given to us. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food. Now notice how James is still following the trend of those being respecter of persons. Those who in chapter 2 verse 1 claim to be religious. Those who believe themselves to be religious, but were not because they were giving higher honors to those who were rich, but they were discrediting and disdaining those who were poor. So James, following this same thought, is now going to show how this inactive faith is found in partiality. And observe in verse 15, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? You make a well wish for them. You wish them well, you desire the best for them. But that's as far as you go. Now, for us, brethren, to have a more impactful view of this passage, let's put our name where it says brother or sister. If I were naked and destitute, if I did not have clothing to cover me from the elements that are in this world, if my belly was empty because I did not have food, and all I received from my brethren were well wishes of depart in peace, be warmed and filled. I hope you the best. May God bless you, and I hope God gives you what you need. Will I be satisfied with that answer? Would that prevent me from getting sick because I have no clothes to cover me from the cold? Would that fill my stomach with food that it is not clearly in there? Would that cure the hunger that I am suffering from? Thus the question asked then is, what foundation does that have blessing have? You see, if you go with me, brethren, to Genesis chapter 12, it's amazing that when we read what God says about Abraham, the father of faith, as we like to call him, observe what God tells Abraham in regards to what we're speaking about. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Now notice the last part. And you shall be a blessing. You see, Abraham wasn't only going to be the receiver of the blessings, but Abraham was also going to be a giver and distributor of God's blessings. When we read this, we see that it begins with an action. Chapter 12, verse 1, we see where God tells Abraham that he is to get out of his country, that he is to leave behind his family and his father's house. These are all actions. But Abraham had to believe, verse 2, the promises that God was making him. This is how God motivated, or this is how God encouraged Abraham to trust Him. If you are willing to do this, I am going to do this. Verse 1, cause. Verse 2, effect. But amongst the effects that God is speaking of in verse 2, it's not just the promise of giving him a great, making him a great nation and giving him a great name. It's also the promise that you, Abraham, you yourself will be a blessing to others. Well, how was Abraham a blessing to others? Again, we call him the father of faith. Abraham is still blessing us today. He is still a blessing for us today. Because in his example, in his fidelity, even in his mistakes, we learn how faith is supposed to work. We see that in Abraham, my friends, faith is indeed a foundation. Faith is indeed a solid structure. Because Abraham built his hopes on the promises of God. He believed God, says chapter 15, verse 6. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Notice that Abraham was justified because he did not doubt what God had told him. The result was Isaac was born from that. So when we go back to James chapter 2, observe, my friends, observe, brethren, how James chapter 2 is teaching us that faith is substantial, that faith is the substance. It is the foundation that we build our hopes on. It is the foundation where we build up and develop our faith. And it is so because faith without works is like you being the one who is destitute or the one being hungry and simply receiving a verbal blessing without the material needs that you have. It's like the person saying, well, I do have this leftover food, but I'll be praying for you. You know, I like to say sometimes that preachers truly have to learn how to live on faith alone. We get a lot of prayers and well wishes, but very seldomly do we get the support that we need. Not this preacher, I'm not complaining. But many times, brethren, that's how we react. We want to solve everything with prayer, but then we don't put action to our prayer. Faith is the substance, says Scripture, of things hoped for. To hope without faith is not to hope at all. Notice that it is faith that gives us hope. This is why the Hebrew writer, inspired, tells us it's the substance. You know, I used this analogy earlier in the week or earlier last week. Think about a tree. When we read that word, that Greek word, and we delve deeper into the etymology of it, it gives us also the imagery of a tree that has its roots. We can tell the strength of the tree by how tall or how wide it is. But many times, brethren, what we don't understand is that that tree is able to remain upright because the roots that are under it are deep underground and they are widespread, holding up that tree, making it very, very difficult for it to fall. But observe that we never see the roots. We only see the tree. And we see the length of the tree, the width of the tree. But we know the roots are there. We know that it's the roots underground that are holding that tree up. We know that it is those same roots that are feeding the tree the nutrients it requires. And we know that those roots are widespread and are in water, because that tree that we see is telling me about the roots that I cannot see. Well, faith, brethren, are those roots for us. Faith are the roots that are feeding our hope. Faith are the roots that should keep our hope alive. And faith, brethren, as we see, is what moves us to obedience of God's commandments. Because if I have no faith, then I have no foundation. I'm building upon the sand. And when the rains and the winds and everything comes, well, that's when my faith crumbles. I want us this morning, brethren, as we've seen, how taking this example that James uses here, that he gives us in verse 15 and 16, how faith can be seen. How when a person is in need, it's the provision, the blessing that person with the actual clothing, the actual food, is moved by the faith that we have. Well, the same is true, brethren, when it comes to the faith found in Christ Jesus. And I want us to see three examples of how our faith is the substance of our hope. First, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And for the diligent student, you know that we are now going to read a chapter that deals very thoroughly about the resurrection. Remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there were those who were saying that the resurrection of the dead was impossible. That it was not possible for a person to rise after having died. This then means that they were denying that Jesus himself had resurrected, although in their minds they didn't believe they were doing so. But beginning there at verse 12, observe how our faith is the structure or the foundation, the roots of our hope in resurrection. Chapter 15, beginning at verse 12, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty." Now James said that faith without works is what? Dead. Something that is dead is empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Observe how faith is the foundation of our hope in Christ. We, brethren, have the hope that we will resurrect on that last day. That we will rise as Christ rose. But we have that hope built on the faith that Christ did it first. We never saw Jesus with our own eyes. We never heard him with our own ears. We never had a physical, literal conversation with him. But we believe he rose. And we believe with all of our hearts that he rose to never die again. But observe that it is that faith that gives us the hope that we too will rise as he rose. It is the faith that we know that Jesus, the Son of God and God himself, who conquered death, took away the wages of sin from my life. And how does it become my structure? How does it become my foundation? Well, the fact is, verse 17, none of us want to find out that we are still in sin. Wait a minute. You're telling me that when I went into the waters, When I emulated the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. You're now telling me that because resurrection is not possible, you're telling me then that I got wet for no reason at all? You know that there are some that would argue, well, no, it has to be ceremonial. It doesn't do anything for you, but it's still ceremonial. That's just the same as telling someone, God give you food, and you can give them that food. No. Observe how the faith that we have in the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what gives us the hope that our sins have been washed away. It is this hope that gives us the vision of resurrection to look toward that day. It is the conviction of knowing that Jesus did indeed die on the cross to be buried 3 days and then to rise on the third day so that there would no longer be that huge threat in my life. The fact that I believe this with all of my heart is what gives me that solid foundation, that security to know that what I am doing is the right path toward heaven. Paul makes a very simple question similar to James. And observe how Paul says then that if there is no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. You see how faith is what gives the credence to resurrection? Faith is what substantiates the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because those who were saying that there is no resurrection were doubting. They had no faith. And thus they were pulling at straws. So our faith, brethren, substantiates that we too will rise on that day. That as Jesus rose, so will we. And that as Jesus ascended to heaven, so will we. Because it was our faith that gave us that strength to obey the commandment of being baptized. Where then which we emulated the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The substance of things hoped for. We hope to resurrect as Jesus did. We hope to be with the Father. We hope that all our sins have been washed away. But if we do not believe this, if we do not hold this conviction, if we do not hold this to be true, then our hope is empty. Our hope is hollow. Galatians chapter 3. We see that our faith not only substantiates that we will resurrect and that we will resurrect to life, but it also substantiates that we are the descendants of Father Abraham. Chapter 3 of Galatians, beginning there at verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You see, brethren, again, we never met Abraham. In fact, as Gentiles, there is a high probability that we have no blood relations to him. And yet, we are related by the blood of Jesus Christ. But that, once more, is the structure. That is the foundation of our hope. Because the blessing was given to the descendants of Abraham. It was in Abraham that all the families of the world would be blessed. Once again, Abraham is still being a blessing today. But the point that we are making this evening is morning in our second point. Is that if our faith, brethren, is without works, if our faith is simply a belief or a concept, if our faith is abstract or an ideal, well then we are simply grasping at the idea of, I probably am descended to Abraham. There's a good probability that perhaps the blessing that was given to Abraham, I can obtain it as well. But that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, we are the descendants of Abraham. We are of the seed of Abraham. And it is not by the works of the law. It is by the works of faith. An active faith. Observe that Paul proves this by going to the scripture that we quoted previously. In verse 6, Paul is quoting Genesis 15:16. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Well, how do we know that Abraham believed God? Well, him leaving everything behind and him having gone to rescue Lot with only 350 men who were not of war proves that to be true. But why did Abraham do this? Why was Abraham so convinced that this was the route? Why was Abraham willing to put all that he knew and had on the promises given to him by a God that he had not known until he decided to know Him? Because he believed. He was convinced. He had faith in God, his friend. You see, brethren, it was our faith that brought us here. It is our faith that has us here now. But it isn't just a feeling. In fact, it's not a feeling at all. It substantiates. It substantiates our hope in resurrection. It substantiates our hope in being of the seed of Abraham, in being heirs with Abraham. It provides for us the solid footing that we have for the decision that we have made in obeying the gospel. Because if we did not have faith, then we did not do anything. We were simply damped in water. But nothing happened on that day if it was not built upon the rock. Faith is a substance. It is a foundation. And once more, James chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, or 17, excuse me, gives us a very practical way of understanding that. Saying that I have faith and not showing that I have faith is no different than just receiving a well wish but not the help that actually is what I need. It's like receiving a prayer and nothing else. Brethren, we see that our faith substantiates not only the resurrection, not only that we are heirs with Christ, heirs with Christ, but also the fact that Abraham is, we are descendants of him. But go with me now to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And observe what a precious lesson faith substantiates. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now notice verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel, salvation, and faith cannot be separated. You cannot separate the gospel from salvation, and you cannot separate salvation from faith. Righteousness, my friends, is another way of saying God's grace. Those who believe that grace is attained by believing only have not been paying attention to this passage here. Because clearly, it is not by believing only. Because the just shall live by faith. That two-letter preposition is in verb. It is in action. And by faith is not the same as saying one or only faith. By faith means you're always developing it. You see, we mentioned the fact that it is a foundation. And many times when we think about a foundation, we have to think about an edifice or a house. And think about this idea. When you have laid the foundation, and I'm going to use an example from last year's final quarter. When Zerubbabel had succeeded in laying the foundation, we read in Scripture that there was great jubilee, there was great joy from just laying the foundation. But the building hadn't yet been erected yet. What could Zerubbabel and the returning Jews see that their neighbors did not? See, the foundation for the Jews was an assurance that the building was going to be completed. That foundation was showing them, and they could already see the rebuilt temple. How many times when we're going to build, we can see the house that we're dreaming of. We can see how we want it, what it's going to look like. But nobody else can. We can describe it. But even then, they're not going to see what we see. The only time they will is when we finish building what we've seen. But what gave us the confidence to start building? The fact that the foundation's been laid, that the work has begun. It is no longer just a pipe dream. That foundation that's been laid is proof that it is going to be a reality. Brethren, our faith substantiates our salvation. Our faith substantiates that you and I have been saved by the gospel call of salvation. Because this same gospel reveals the righteousness of God, but notice how it's revealed. It's revealed from faith to faith so that it could be lived by faith. The gospel originated from faith. How can it not be substantial? The gospel came from faith. You go a few chapters more, chapter 10, verse 17, and notice how this same thought is made by the Apostle Paul. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. By the way, it's interesting that hearing is an action. You can't believe if you can't hear. And you don't believe just everything you hear. It has to be the Word of God that you have to hear. Already that's an action. That's a work, by the way. But this is what from faith means. This is what Paul speaks about when he says that it comes from faith. To faith, so that the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews chapter 3, we read it this morning, verse 12. We read an example of those who had faith because they crossed the Red Sea. But their faith fell short. Because once they reached safety, they could not continue to grow in the faith. They did not continue to develop their faith. And you see, the Bible teaches us, brethren, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. The reason, as Hebrews 11:6 continues to tell us, is because we have to be convinced, we have to have that solid foundation that He is the rewarder. But it ends by saying that those who believe this, those who have this conviction, those who are building upon the rock, will diligently seek Him. They won't waste time. They won't spend time wondering, well, I wonder if I'm building on the right foundation or not. They don't spend time daydreaming or thinking or overthinking. They're sure that this is where I want to build my mansion. This is where I envisioned my home. I know this is the right place. Everybody wants to get to heaven. But how many of us are building our way up there? Is our structure founded on Christ, in whom we have faith through Scripture? Just like James gives us an example proving that faith without works is dead. That someone who is hungry and someone who is naked will remain hungry and naked if all we do is wish them well. If all we do is just pray for someone who clearly needs clothing and clearly needs food. When we can give them clothing and food, we can be a blessing to them. Well, the same is true with someone who begins their Christianity, but does not continue to build up their Christianity. You say you want to get to heaven, but you're not being diligent in getting there. You start off on that solid foundation, but then all you do is just stand in it. And you're still exposed to all the elements of the world. Yes, faith is the structure. Faith is the foundation that we start off on. But we have to build it up. But that will be our lesson tonight. This morning, we have proven through Scripture that faith substantiates the resurrection in Christ Jesus. It substantiates that indeed we are heirs and descendants of Abraham. And it substantiates that we have been saved through the gospel of Christ. It serves as the foundation of these three pieces that are the core of Christianity. And we know this because our obedience to the gospel proves that we believe that God indeed spoke and commanded these things. So my friend, are you building upon the rock or are you building upon the sand? If your hope is that God will continue to give you more time, even though you know what you need to do, your structure is not faith. Your structure is not a rock, it is the sand. If your hope is built on that God will continue to give you time because He is only benevolent, well, you are forgetting that God is also righteous. And God knows the hearts. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 tells us that God cannot be mocked. And you building your hope for more time, you building your hope for being allowed to continue to live your life in the sins and the lust that you are enjoying, that God will give you enough time so that you can get it out of your system. Well, that's a poor attempt at trying to mock God. And the reality is that you very likely don't realize that even though you're not mocking Him, you are enjoying the blessing of His long-suffering nature. But remember this, my friend. Even God's patience runs out. That is part of the structure, the foundation that we are built upon. This world will be destroyed one day. There will be a day of judgment. And on that day, if you did not build upon the rock, you will suffer a great ruin forevermore. So this morning, what is the substance of your hope? What are your hopes being built on? What are your hopes relying on? If your hope is built on the faith that is in Christ Jesus, then today is the day of salvation. Today, you can put your feet on that rock that is Christ Jesus by obeying the gospel in the waters of baptism in accordance to the commandment given by the head of the church himself. If there's anyone here this morning who wants to accept this invitation, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.